the inheritance of the rest of the tribe of Judah is described in chapter 15, verses 1 through 12. So if I could have two people read six verses each, we're going to look at the first 12 verses, read those. We won't read the rest of it. So George is going to take 1 through 6. Who wants 7 through 12? All right, Miss Mary, you do 7 through 12, okay? Go ahead.
This then was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah by their families, even to the border of Edom, the wilderness of Zin, southward was the uttermost part of the south coast. And their south border was from the shore of the salt sea, from the bay that looketh southward. And it went out to the south side of Me'el-e-Rebim.
Wow, that was awesome. Yeah. You just made it up, didn't you?
I did.
Bless your heart.
And it passed along to Zin and ascended up on the south side unto Kadesh Barnea and passed along to Hezron and went up to Adar and fetched a compass to Karka and thence passed toward Asmon and went out unto the river of Egypt, and the goings out of that coast were at the sea. This shall be your south coast. And the east border was the salt sea, even unto the end of Jordan, and their border in the north quarter was from the bay of the sea at the uttermost part of Jordan. And the border went up to Beth Hogla and passed along by the north of Beth Arba, and the border went up to the stone of Rohan and the son of Reuben.
Okay, Miss Mary, 7 to
12.
Yeah, just do the best you can.
The border went up toward Deber from the valley of Achor, and it turned northward toward Gilgal, which is before the ascent of Aden, which is on the south side of the valley. The border continued toward the waters of Enshemesh and ended in Enrogel. And the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom to the southern slope of the Jebusite city, which is Jerusalem. The border went up to the top of the mountain that lies before the valley of Hinnom, westward, which is at the end of the valley of Rephaim, northward. Then the border went around from the top of the hill to the fountain of the water of Nepto and extended to the cities of Mount Ephraim. And the border went around to Bala, which is Kirjajaron. Then the border turned westward from Bala to Mount Seir, passed along the side of Mount Jerim on the north, which is Chalcedon, went down to Beth Shemesh and passed on to Eno. And the border went out to the side of the Ekron northward. Then the border went around to Shikron, passed along to Mount Bala, and extended to Jabneel, and the border ended at the sea. The west border was coastline of the great sea. This is the boundary of the children of Judah all around according to their families.
All right, thank you both. That was good. You guys did really well. I wanted to hand it out to you so you'd have the thrill of reading those names. Let me ask you a question real quick. It popped out a couple of times as they were reading. What's another name for the Salt Sea? Pardon?
The Dead Sea.
Dead Sea. Yeah, Salt Sea. It's got such a high salt content. I don't think anything lives in it, does it? I think you can lay on it. It's like laying on a frozen lake. Huh? Yeah, because it's so dense, you just kind of be hard to go underwater. All right. Thank you both for tackling that. That took some bravery for sure. So the inheritance of the rest of the tribe of Judah was just read. Also, verses 21 through 63. And I don't think you want to go through all those, do you? I'll let you do that on your own. Good practice. But it's no accident that God gave all of these details. We may not know all the reasons why he did, but certainly he was involved in every minute detail of the passing out of the land. God was concerned, and God gave each of them their own little portion. Then also, Jerusalem at this time was not taken. Verse 63, as for the Jebusites, remember that was their city, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day, the writing of the book of Joshua. David captured it permanently in 2 Samuel chapter 5. If you want to put a little note next to that verse, finally captured by David, see 2 Samuel 5. And he then made it the capital. Ephraim and Manasseh were sons of Joseph. And since Levi did not get a portion of land, they had cities scattered throughout Canaan so they could minister to the people. They had a special relationship with their grandfather, Jacob, and Ephraim and Manasseh kind of took the place of Joseph. So instead of one tribe going to, or one chunk of land going to Joseph, it went to his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh, not Manassas, that's in Virginia. In Genesis chapter 48, Genesis 48, 15 through 22. Gary, you want to read those? You had your hand up a while ago, and I just missed you. So Genesis 48, these should be a little easier than all the names. 48. 15 through 22, okay?
And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life until this day, the angel which redeemed me from the all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. How far to go?
22.
And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed him that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God made thee Ephraim, and as Manasseh, he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took at the hand of the Amorite, with my sword and with my bow.
All right. Thank you, Gary. So there we have the record of that special relationship that Jacob had with Joseph's sons, his grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And when he put his hand upon their heads to bless them, he, rather than putting his right hand upon the firstborn, he put it on the secondborn. This was something that was not unusual. Remember way back in the beginning, and think about this in relationship to God himself. You had Cain and Abel, okay? And Abel, of course, obeyed the word of the Lord, and he offered to God animal sacrifices. Cain had a better idea. He thought God would be pleased with the veggies out of his vegetable garden. And, of course, Abel was accepted, and Cain was rejected. The firstborn was rejected. Then you had Ishmael later, and he was the son of the handmaid, On the other hand, Isaac was the son of promise. So the firstborn there was rejected in favor of the secondborn. Also, when you think of Esau and Jacob, God accepted Jacob, rejected Esau. And even Paul wrote about that in the book of Romans. And when you kind of think of what's, you know, there are other things too, but one of the things that I think is significant when you think about that is think about our first birth. The Bible says we must be born again. Jesus said, ye must be born again. Why? Because our first birth, our human birth, our natural birth is rejected. They that are in the flesh, Romans 8:8, cannot please God. Paul wrote in Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. There's not a single human being who has ever been able to have a right walk with God, other than Christ himself, of course. There's none of us measure up to the holiness of God. We have all sinned, and we all fall short of God's glory. And we need a Savior. We need a Redeemer. We need someone to bridge the gap between us and God. And Jesus is that mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So it's just a reminder that we cannot depend upon that first birth. It's going to let us down every time. Even after we're saved, if we allow the old nature to take control, we end up in a whole lot of trouble, don't we? So that leads us to lesson number 5. God wants to give all of us our inheritance. We all have special blessings that, and of course, many of those are listed, as I mentioned, in Ephesians chapter 1. God has a special plan and purpose, which we're talking about in the next hour, for each of us. Oftentimes, we do not enjoy all that God has in store for us regarding our inheritance in Christ, maybe because, as James wrote in James 4:2, ye have not because ye ask not. We need for God to reveal to us. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, Galatians 3:26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And of course, that's not talking about water baptism. Water baptism, just a picture, is talking about the placing of the Holy Spirit, placing us into the body of Christ, as is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We have all been baptized into one body. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, neither male nor female. And that's not denying that there are men and women. It's denying that in Christ we are all equal. There is not one above another. We all need the same salvation. We need the same Savior, and we all receive the same salvation. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So again, nothing from our first birth should hinder us from claiming all that we have in Christ. Don't allow the old life. Don't allow even the struggles that we face in this life. We have this old nature, and it keeps rearing its ugly head. Paul described it as a sort of tug of war. You know, the old against the new. It's constant, isn't it? I mean, some of us have been saved for a long time. I got saved in January 1977, and that's a long time ago, and I still struggle. Doesn't matter how long we've been saved. Don't let it get the best of you. Don't throw your arms up in despair and give up because you continue to fail. Just keep asking God from a sincere heart, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me, make me anew. I want to be obedient. I want to serve you. I want to be I want to be faithful. The Lord knows our weakness better than we do. You know, we have a deceitful, wicked heart still. Even though the blood of Christ cleanses us continually from all sin, we still struggle. So don't say to God, well, I don't deserve any of the blessings you have for me. I don't deserve the inheritance you have for me because I'm not perfect. Well, we won't be until we get to be with him. Just keep fighting a good fight. Don't give up. Keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. It's coming. The Lord's coming back. Could be this year. Things are unraveling in our world. There's a lot of there are a lot of things that could go wrong. This is a very tedious time in world history. And we have a president that cannot put two sentences together. And I don't say that to just listen to me. I'm not trying to criticize. I'm just stating the facts. We have a situation. There's a lot of decisions that have to be made. And we can see that there have been many that have been made that haven't been right. So we got some people really, really angry. I'm talking about violently angry over the fact that Trump is leading in the polls. If he should happen to win the presidency, there's going to be some trouble. I'm serious. The far left radical wing are violent. They accuse the MAGA people of being violent. I don't see any record of that, other than January 6th, and that one, you know, that's another story. But the rioters were not MAGA people that destroyed cities. All right, let's move on. Number six. Joshua had a problem with Ephraim and Manasseh. If you look at back in Joshua chapter 17, anybody feel like reading 14 through 18? There aren't any hard names in there that I'm aware of, maybe one. Beshean, that's the hardest name. Anybody feel like reading? Who hadn't read yet?
I'll read, but where? Bill, go ahead.
Go ahead, Bill. There'll be more. There'll be another chance. Go ahead, Bill.
All right. 14 through 18.
Mm-hmm.
Then the children of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, "For I have given us only one lot and one share to inherit, since we are a great people, inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now." So Joshua answered them, "If you are a great people, then go up to the forest country and clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too high for you." But the children of Joseph said, "The mountain country is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both those who are of Beth Shean and its towns and those who are of the valley of Jezreel." And Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, "You are a great people and have great power. You shall not have only one lot, but the mountain country shall be yours. Although it is wooded, you shall cut it down, and its farthest extent shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and are strong."
All right. Thank you, Bill. All right. So Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, remember that they got the chunk of land that was going to go to the tribe of Joseph. So that means it was divided into two. So you had two groups, Manasseh and Ephraim, that shared the same property. So they said, you know what? It's getting kind of crowded. But there's some problems that we can see in what happened here. First of all, it kind of seemed like there's a little bit of pride. We are a great people. Now, I know they're talking about numbers, but they're also talking about greatness in the sense that we would think of greatness. They call themselves a great people. So they thought they deserved special treatment because anybody remember what tribe Joshua was out of? Anybody remember? Ephraim. He was out of Ephraim. And the tribe, both of those tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, had multiplied greatly. So they said, we need more land. Joshua said, yeah, you are a great people as far as numbers wise. And yeah, you could probably use some more land, even though you seem to be given to criticism and a little bit of pride. And by the way, later on in Joshua chapter 'm kind of schnazely. It's hard. I'm going to blame the fact that I can't breathe. Later on in Judges, not only did they give problems to Joshua here, but in Judges chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, they will give problems to Gideon, one of the judges. They will also give problems to Jephthah in chapter 12 of Judges, which we're going to study Judges when we finish Joshua. And even later than that, when King David was king, 2 Samuel 20, verses 1 through 5, these same folk, same tribes, will give problems to David as well. James 3:16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion, there is disorder, and every evil work. So Joshua told them, okay, you want more property. We got some mountain land. There's trees up there. You got to clear the trees. And you got to defeat the people that are up there. And so if you are so great, now's a good time to prove it. Remember, Caleb was 85 years old. And he said, I'm going to take the land. And he didn't care about the giants. In New King James, some of the newer translations, it doesn't call them giants, it's Rephaim, which means giants. And Caleb said, hey, not a problem, not a problem at all. He said, do like Caleb did. Yeah, but they got chariots, there's a whole bunch of them, they're giants. He said, hey, you want the land, have faith that God will deliver it into your hands. So lesson number 6. It's not our boasting, but it's our believing. It's not our boasting, it's our believing that gives us victory in this life. Our walk and our talk should match. It's real easy to speak great swelling words, isn't it? It's very easy to talk big. But it's something else to walk big. Many talk big and walk small. Sometimes those who talk the most accomplish the least. It's God who gives the victory, and God will if we trust Him, if we lean on Him. So number 1, we have seen the assignments made at Gilgal. Number 2, the assignments made at Shiloh. This will cover chapters 18 and 19. The assignments made at Shiloh, and Shiloh was in Ephraim, and Ephraim, of course, was Joshua's tribe, but it was a centrally located and convenient place, Shiloh. 5 tribes have been given their inheritance as Joshua, Eleazar, and the 12 leaders of the tribes cast lots at Gilgal. Joshua then moved the camp to Shiloh in the land of Ephraim, where the tabernacle stayed until David moved it, moved the ark to Jerusalem in 2 Samuel chapter 6. So 7 tribes still needed their inheritance. 5 down, 7 to go. And they were very slow in pursuing their inheritance. So Joshua came up with a plan. The area, the various areas would be mapped out. They were to go have 3 men, 21 total, 3 from each tribe, 3 times 7, 21, and scope out the land, see various stuff that was on at the high points. You know what's weird? They had fought for the land, But yet they hesitated to claim the inheritance. It's kind of strange, isn't it? It's kind of like the hard work for us has been done on the cross of Calvary. And sometimes we're slow to claim, even after we are born into God's family, to claim the blessings that are ours in Christ. We carry burdens we shouldn't carry. We doubt when we ought to believe. We fail to take steps of faith when we ought to, and sometimes we take steps we shouldn't. So Joshua and the leaders said, okay, get you three men, appoint them out of each tribe, go through the remaining territories and cities and list them along with various landmarks describing each part of the land. And then the information was brought back to Joshua, who then cast lots before the Lord and assigned the land. In verse number 7, chapter 18, verse number 7, but the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance, and Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. And then, of course, the men arose, went away, and did what they were supposed to do regarding the land. And then in chapter 18, Benjamin next went to Ephraim and Manasseh. Chapter 18, verses 11 through 28. Let me look at that real quick here. Becca, you want to read? Don't read all that. Let's read 11. Read 11 through 14 for now. 11 through 14, if you would.
And the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the coast of their lot came forth between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. And their border on the north side was from Jordan, and the border went up to the side of Jericho on the north side, and went up through the mountains westward, and the goings out thereof were at the wilderness of Bethaven. And the border went over from thence toward Luz, to the side of Luz, which is Bethel, southward. And the border descended to Adaroth-Adar, near the hill that lieth on the south side of the nether Beth-Horon. And the border was drawn thence, and compassed the corner of the sea southward, from the hill that lieth before Beth-Horon southward. And the goings out thereof were at Kirjath-Baal, which is Kirjath-Jearim, a city of the children of Judah. This was the west quarter.
All right, and then it goes on to talk about the south quarter, the north quarter, talks about the east. Verse 20, the Jordan was the border of it on the east side. And then it talks about the cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin, according to their families. And it lists various cities. Again, you can look at all that as you would like to. Then Simeon shared his inheritance with Judah. We see that in chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. The second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families. And their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. And then it goes on to list various portions of property and villages and cities, etc. Talks about the third lot, who it fell upon. The fourth lot came to Issachar. The fifth lot came to the tribe of children of Asher, etc., etc. So you can read through those as you would like. Eventually, Simeon and Judah inhabited the cities assigned in Joshua 15. Verses 21 through 61, if you want to make a note of that. Eventually, Simeon, who was with Judah, inhabited the cities assigned in Joshua 15. The area north of Manasseh was assigned to Zebulun, chapter 19, verses 10 through 16. Issachar, chapter 19 verses 17 through 23, Asher 24 through 31, and Naphtali verses 32 through 39. And by the way, Zebulun and Naphtali later became Galilee of the Gentiles, where our Lord spent much of his time of ministry in. Zebulun and Naphtali later became Galilee of the Gentiles. Then Dan, chapter 19, 40 through 48, immediately went to work and expanded its territory. Dan and Benjamin formed a belt across the land, connecting the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. And then lastly, Joshua claimed his own inheritance, and the Lord gave him the city of Timnath-Serah in verses 49 and 50 of chapter 19. And when they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coast, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them, according to the word of the Lord that gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. All right, so that's as far as we're going to go this morning. It's almost the middle of February already. It's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? Thank you, sir. All right, our missionary of the week, Isaac and Ende Woodward. Isaac and Ende, E-N-D-E, Woodward. Church planters in New Orleans, Louisiana. Boy, we need some churches down there, don't we? The church in McCoud. M-I-C-H-O-U-D. They ask us to pray that we would make disciples, talking about them who make disciples in McCoud. Pray that we would become one, even as Jesus and the Father are one. John 17. And then the mission itself wrote this. This is actually from Ryan Rice. He's a New Orleans Send City missionary. Pray for peace in the city of New Orleans, as these affected by and those affected by violence. Pray for citizens continually dealing with insurance issues from past hurricanes. Pray for the church planters serving in tough areas to have strength and joy while serving. Pray for the church planting families to thrive in their marriages and for the raising of their children in the city of New Orleans. Lastly, pray for laborers to join what God is doing in the city to reach the lost. Then, continue to pray for our church. Been pleased to see some visitors coming. We've had one couple that has come 3 weeks in a row, and another couple that came last week. I happened to see Nancy, who was here last week, her and her husband Cliff. He's a truck driver. He's on the road, assuming his truck got fixed. It's I don't know exactly where it's at. She had to drive him two and a half hours down to his truck. It was supposed to be done. They got there wherever, I think it might be in Tennessee, and come to find out it wasn't finished. So he stayed down there in the motel. She drove back. I happened to see her in the grocery store, and she said she's going to be here today. So pray that these folk, God, if it's his will, we'll bring them to us to be a part of our family. Pray for our nation. Pray for Israel. God would give them victory and draw his people to the one true Messiah, Jesus. Pray for Ukraine, the situation there. Want to continue to, I guess, another, what is 60 million they want to. I've lost track of how much money. And I just read an article about, I forget how many millions have been misappropriated. Pray for our troops around the world. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for Hope House. Hopefully you can get down there on the 24th between 8 and 4. Pray for Mark and his health situation, and Rhonda, that she'd have strength to deal with both Mark and, of course, her mom is up in years as well. Pray for Mary and her health. I put Bill back on the prayer list. His blood pressure's been through the roof, but here he told me he took it yesterday, and it was the level of a teenager, like 116 over, what was it, 116? Yeah, he's back to his teens now. Pray for Betty's continued strength, that she continues to care for her niece, who's getting better. Hopefully will be released in a week or so from doctor's care. Pray for Missy Nixon, Barbara Mason, who's very critical. Pray for Mason. Pray for Brody. Any word on Brody yet?
No, but Brody gets tired. She's not heard anything from the doctor. But Brody gets tired. He gets really tired. It's nothing for him.
Yeah, that's not right for a child. Pray for Brody. Pray that these doctors will get with him. I don't know what's going on. Pray for Ross McNiffin, Judy Shade, Jews for Jesus, David Liebman coming again March 17th. There'll be dinner on the grounds afterward. There'll be a sign-up sheet put out soon. The Millers, of course, on the 21st. Please make your plans to be here. It's an awful thing for a preacher when he invites somebody in and we end up with a handful of people. He sounds like pride to me. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. It makes me feel like, you know, makes me feel like George's height, you know, just a little guy. Oh, sorry. He's average, he said. You are. You actually are. You are average. Okay. Ronnie Hammond, his ribs are doing better. Sadly, his mom passed away this week. She was 97 years old. He's doing well. He was able to see her. The whole family was up for her 97th birthday back in November. And he was able to get up there one time after that. He was able to see her. And on her birthday, she was really, had a really good day. But he had just called me, and we talked a little bit, not just a few days before that. And he said she was his sister. He's got two sisters up there, and one of the sisters said that she was out of it completely. So pray for Ronnie. I don't have any word on any kind of arrangements or anything. As I mentioned, my son-in-law, oldest son-in-law, David's mom passed away this past week. She was 84. She had had health issues, though she was not at a point of death, so it was unexpected in that regard. They're going to do not even a service, but they're going to take her and bury her tomorrow. Got family in various parts of the country that's going to come in for a memorial on Thursday. So you pray for the family, if you would. It's up in Frederick is where he's from. Lindsay Thompson recovering from foot surgery, and she's got a new walking boot, so pray for Lindsay. Pray for ones traveling. Who's traveling?
Marie Baker,
okay. Pray for Becky Plum, not feeling well, and Terry Kine's family, death of Terry, known as Ted. Is that a friend? Annadale, is that a friend of the family? Or?
I'm sorry, I'm writing, I didn't hear what you said.
Is that a friend of the family, Terry Kine's family?
My son-in-law's brother.
Son-in-law's brother, okay.
And, of course, Donna, his sister.
Okay. All right, let's stand together, take these requests to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we praise you for who you are. You're such a good God. We think about what we deserve, and yet in spite of our failings, you hear and answer prayer, and you love us beyond what we could ever imagine. And even when we turn our backs on you, Lord, you still seek us out, sometimes through chastisement. But yet you continue, Lord, to deal with us. Lord, help us to be faithful, to put you first in our lives. Things work out so much better when our priorities are in the right order. I pray, Father, for those that are sick, that you'd heal their bodies. I pray for those that have suffered the loss of a loved one. I pray you'd minister to them and family and friends, and use this time in these families to draw lost sinners to the Savior. We pray for those that are traveling and will be traveling, that you give them safety. And we ask, Lord, that as we enter into the next hour, Lord, that all that's said and done would bring glory and honor to you, that one that might be here lost without the Savior would be drawn to him today. And that child of God that has wandered astray would come back into sweet fellowship with you before they leave this place today. I pray, Father, for those that are going through other difficulties and problems, maybe caring for loved ones or having to deal with illness. Lord, we pray for encouragement for them, added strength, a fresh touch from you, Lord, of encouragement. We ask, Lord, that you be pleased with all, again, that's said and done both here and in Children's Church in the next hour. Bring glory to yourself, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we've got about 10 full minutes.